Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, January 7th, 2026, 2025, Christmas special.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God initially to Isaiah 9, verse 6. It is this great prophetical verse that I have chosen to go into in a deeper level than I ever have before. And I have been getting nothing but positive feedback from members of the congregation saying that this is something that's really been beneficial and helped them so many ways. And that's great. This is our 2025 Christmas special. And it's centered on one verse, Isaiah 9, verse 6. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This great prophetical verse, Isaiah 9:6, presents the hypostatic union, first of all, of our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because a child has been born for us, the true humanity of the Messiah, a son has been given for us, the undiminished deity of the Messiah. The Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the unique person of the universe, the theanthropic God, the God-man, undiminished deity, true humanity, united in one person forever. Different from God in that he is man and perfect man, different from man in that he is the eternal God. So right at the very first clause of Isaiah 9:6, the spotlight is put on a doctrine that is very, very important. The doctrine of the hypostatic union of the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ. And that's one of the most important doctrines that you can ever learn concerning the Messiah. And we studied that in greater detail than we ever have before. And this first clause of verse 6 presents the greatest miracle that this world will ever know. That very first Christmas, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. The first clause of verse 6 puts the spotlight on the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah. Then the second clause of verse 6 puts the spotlight on the second coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And that is the phrase, and the government will be on his shoulders. The miracle Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a gift from God to the entire world to be the ruler of planet Earth. This was presented right at the beginning on that very first Christmas in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 33. At the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will establish his kingdom on earth, and he will rule the entire world. And not only will the Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah, be the ruler of the world, but the entire responsibility of justice and righteousness in the administration of government rests upon his shoulders. He will rule planet Earth with perfect justice and absolute righteousness. The child is to be the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Now, in the last half of Isaiah 9, verse 6, the prophet Isaiah gives us four characteristics of the celebrityship of the miracle Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have studied the first two characteristics. That is, he is the wonder counselor, the miracle counselor. And secondly, he is the mighty, omnipotent God. And we went into detail on those two characteristics. We are in the process of studying the third characteristic. He is the eternal Father. And that third characteristic, this is one that many, many Christians do not have a clue as to what God the Holy Spirit is saying here with this third phenomenal characteristic of the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ. There are actually two concepts involved in the third characteristic, the eternal Father. Two characteristics. The first characteristic we have studied, and that is the eternal life of the miracle Messiah. We've studied that. We're not going to go over that again. The second characteristic, most Christians miss the boat. They don't even know what God is saying here. What is God the Holy? Why did God the Holy Spirit guide Isaiah to write this and present this? It is so powerful. So powerful. And in the day in which we live today in America, this is one of the most important characteristics you can understand about the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ. The second concept of the eternal Father is that the miracle Messiah is a father of grace and compassion. He is the Father, Jesus Christ, not God the Father, not the first person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah. Jesus Christ is a father of grace and compassion. And when Jesus Christ was here at the first advent, and in his ministry, he manifested that grace and that compassion over and over and over again. And there were a lot of religious people, scribes and Pharisees, who thought they were great believers. They didn't even think they were sinners. They thought they were phenomenal believers and they were going to be in heaven. The fact is, they weren't even believers at all. Most of them were not even saved. And they hated the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And they wanted to kill the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And they didn't even think that they needed a Savior because they were perfect. They never sinned. They didn't see their own sins and their own flaws, but self-righteous people never do. Self-righteous people never see their own sins and their own flaws, but they judge, slander, and malign everybody else's sins and flaws. And that's what these religious scribes and Pharisees did. Slandered, maligned, judged. First of all, a woman caught in adultery, and yes, she committed adultery. She definitely committed adultery. And Jesus Christ knew all about that in eternity past. He also knew that this woman who committed adultery, she was caught in the act. He knew also that she would believe in Him, Jesus Christ, for eternal salvation. And now, you're sitting here tonight. You have believed in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. And I'm not going out on a limb here, but every one of you sin. You sin. A lot of sin. You sin. You sin. You sin. You sin. You sin. We're all here and we all sin. Jesus Christ knew that. In eternity past, and in His infinite virtue love, He willingly went to a cross and paid the penalty for all of our sins. All of your sins, all of my sins. He paid the penalty in full. And then He, when manifests grace, that's grace and compassion. And He, when you sin after salvation, you rebound, get back into fellowship with God, you move on. And the woman caught in adultery, she did that. And Jesus Christ treated her in grace and compassion. He didn't condemn her at all. He didn't judge her, slander her, malign her. He didn't condemn her. But the religious people who were thought they were so great and so good and so wonderful, they wanted to kill her. And they wanted to kill Jesus Christ. That characterizes so many religious people today. And I mean that characterizes so many believers in Jesus Christ today. They're self-righteous believers. And they judge, slander, malign, and they justify their own sins and their own failures. Well, that's what Jesus Christ, that's why He is the Father of, eternal Father of grace and compassion. But not only to the woman caught in adultery, but also a prostitute. A prostitute. Prostitutes fornicate, 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 fornicate some more and some more and some more. That's a prostitute. Lots of fornication. And Jesus Christ knew that she was a prostitute. And He was having dinner at a Pharisee's house. And the prostitute came. And this Pharisee knew she was a prostitute. Now, I always wonder about that. He knew she was a prostitute. And she was overwhelmed by the eternal Father of grace and compassion, who paid the penalty for all of her sins on the cross. And she had believed in Christ as her Savior, and she had developed tremendous love for Jesus Christ. That, she's not the only prostitute that has demonstrated great love for Jesus Christ. Rahab the prostitute. She's a winner believer. Oh, she was a prostitute, and there was a long period of time she was fornicating. Then she believed in Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she became a winner believer. Now, some of you will misunderstand what I'm saying. Some of you ladies will say, well, I better be a prostitute then. That way I can be a great believer. No. No. But when I studied this and realized how important this was, and I realized that most Christians haven't got a clue is what this is saying about Jesus Christ and His celebrityship. He is the eternal Father of grace and compassion. And we noted that as I studied the Hebrew verb for father, it's Av. And when Av is used of man, it refers to the human father of a child. However, when Av or father is used of God, it has a very special meaning and emphasis. In relationship to God, Av or father puts the spotlight on the grace and compassion of God. In relationship to the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, it emphasizes the grace and compassion of the King, our Redeemer, our Savior. As a father has compassion on his children, so the miracle Messiah has compassion on those who fear him. And this verse is so critical to this passage, Isaiah 9:6, Psalm 103, verse 13. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so also the Lord, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, has compassion on those who fear him. There is the verse that opens up and explains the third characteristic of the celebrityship of Jesus Christ, the eternal Father. The eternal Father of grace and compassion. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And then, as a shepherd graciously provides for and protects and cares for his sheep, so also the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, provides for, protects, and cares for his sheep with grace and compassion. And David understood that. He knew this as the human author of Psalm 23, and that's one of the great psalms. David is the human author of most of the psalms. Psalm 23 helps define exactly what we're studying here in the third characteristic of the celebrityship of Christ. He is the eternal Father. David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." That's because of his grace and compassion in providing for the believer. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul when I get out of fellowship through rebound. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. There is grace and compassion of the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows with greater grace blessings. Surely goodness and grace will pursue me all the days of my life. Greater grace blessings for time, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Greater grace blessings for all eternity. So, in Psalm 103, verse 13, just as the Father has compassion on His children, so the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, has compassion on those who fear Him. And in Psalm 23, just as a shepherd graciously provides for, protects, and cares for his sheep, so also the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, provides for, protects, and cares for His sheep with grace and compassion. And therefore, the term of emphasizes the grace orientation, the grace function, and the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ for His sheep, for believers. Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah, is an eternal Father that eternally functions by grace and compassion to His sheep, to the believers in Jesus Christ, and to us, church age, royal family of God. Now and forever, He guards His sheep, believers, and supplies their needs in grace, just like a father to his children and like a shepherd to his sheep. And then that brought us to four illustrations of the grace function of the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, as eternal Father. And the first illustration was the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. Now, this characteristic is so important and unfortunately not understood by most Christians. They haven't got a clue as to what God is trying to say here. That it's very important for us. This is where me, as a pastor, I'm going to teach you with repetition again and again and again, so you get this. This is really great. This is a phenomenal characteristic of the miracle Messiah. So turn over to John 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, He appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around Him, and He sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law, the scribes, and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. And they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, and they call Him teacher because They don't believe he's the Messiah. They don't believe he's the only Savior, Redeemer. They think he's just a teacher. In fact, they hate him. And they want to kill him, just like they want to kill this woman caught in adultery. They want to kill her. They want to kill Jesus Christ. But these are the religious leaders who think they're great believers. They're not even saved. Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap, in order to have a basis for accusing him. Their real objective was to kill Jesus Christ. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, Lord," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and stop sinning in this category of sins." You know, you're going to sin, but adultery is, that one's over for you. And you know what? She saw the grace and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was the greatest motivation of all for her to make the good decisions, not to go down that path again. The scribes and the Pharisees are full of self-righteous arrogance and sins of the tongue, judging, slandering, maligning. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. In fact, they want to kill him. Like many believers today, many Christians today, they have no grace orientation, no grace function. In fact, these religious leaders of Israel are not even saved. They tried to trap our Lord in verse 6 so they could accuse him and kill him. And they were trying to destroy and kill the woman taken in adultery. Only Jesus Christ was qualified to throw a stone. And remember that. When you want to get into the self-righteous, arrogant function of judging, slandering, and maligning fellow believers. Remember that. When you do that, you have no spiritual life at all. You see, we have a role model. Our role model is the miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He treated these believers with grace and compassion. He didn't condemn her, the woman caught in adultery. He didn't judge, slander, malign the prostitute who came to dinner with Simon the Pharisee. He treated them in grace and compassion. He didn't judge, slander, malign any of them. That's being an eternal Father of grace and compassion. Only Jesus Christ was qualified to throw a stone because he's the only one who is without sin. Verse 7. The Lord Jesus Christ is impeccable. He is sinless perfection. And as the omniscient God, he was a witness to the act of adultery that this woman participated in, and he knew about it in eternity past. Our Lord did not condemn her. He did not condemn her because he is the eternal Father of grace. Grace and compassion. For the positive believer, our Lord's grace policy is a greater deterrent than the condemnation, vengeance, and stone throwing of the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees. The grace policy of our Lord provides a far greater self-motivation to resist temptation than the fear and guilt function of self-righteous types who judge others. Self-righteous types take vengeance into their own hands. However, the only one who is qualified to execute vengeance is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is taught in Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Never take your own revenge, fellow believers, royal family of God, but leave room for the wrath of God, because it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Arrogance cannot stand or appreciate grace in any form. The self-righteous, arrogant individual rejects grace. He rejects grace and operates by self-justification. He justifies his own sins and failures, and in so doing, deceives himself. They deceive themselves, thinking that they are great believers, when in reality, they are far worse than the people they try to destroy. That's the first illustration of the grace function of our Lord Jesus Christ as eternal Father. The second illustration is Jesus and the prostitute. And that's Luke 7. We ended with this yesterday, so let's go to Luke 7. An amazing illustration of what it means to be the eternal Father of grace and compassion. Luke 7, verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And when a woman who had lived as a prostitute in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said this to himself, didn't say it out loud, but then you're talking, this is Jesus Christ, the God-man. He knows exactly what he's thinking. He's thinking in his own soul, if this man were a prophet, obviously, he is not a prophet. So not only is he not a prophet, he's certainly not the Messiah. he would know who is touching him. A prostitute's touching him. And what kind of woman she is, that she is a prostitute. And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," again. Here's a Pharisee who does not believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He doesn't believe he's a prophet. He's just a teacher. "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. And then he turned toward the woman, the prostitute. And he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. And therefore, I tell you, her many sins." She's a prostitute. She has fornicated for years. The whole city knows she's a prostitute. "Her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little." And then Jesus said to her, the prostitute, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And then Jesus said to the woman, the prostitute, "Your faith," she had believed in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. She knew she was a sinner. She knew she was a prostitute and she had sinned again and again and again, fornication. She knew it. And she knew she needed a Savior. And she believed Jesus Christ was the Savior, and she placed her faith in Him. "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Now, I don't know about you. I hope you're beginning to realize what this great characteristic, the eternal Father of grace and compassion, Jesus Christ, in his celebrityship as the miracle Messiah, four characteristics. But this third one, the eternal Father of grace and compassion. So one, this prostitute had been following Jesus, and she has placed her faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. This prostitute had been following Jesus, and she has placed her faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Two, she has become a believer, and she loves the Lord Jesus Christ. She has become a believer and she loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And she wants to demonstrate her appreciation for Him being the eternal Father of grace and compassion. She has become a believer and she loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and she wants to demonstrate her appreciation for Him being the eternal Father of grace and compassion. 3, the self-righteous Pharisee thought to himself that Jesus could not possibly be a prophet, let alone the Messiah, since he allowed this prostitute to touch him. Verse 39. The self-righteous Pharisee thought to himself that Jesus could not possibly be a prophet, let alone the Messiah, since he allowed this prostitute to touch him. 4. The Pharisee thinks that this woman is doing something terribly wrong. He already knows she's done a lot of fornication for years. The whole town knows it. Everybody knows her. This Pharisee thinks this woman is doing something terribly wrong, but she is doing nothing wrong at all. Everything she is doing is absolutely right, honorable, wonderful. 5. Self-righteous people always make wrong assumptions, because their thinking is based on self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption, arrogance, and living in Satan's cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. Self-righteous people always make wrong assumptions because all of their thinking is based on self-justification. They justify their own sins and failures and therefore deceive themselves, self-deception, self-absorption. They're preoccupied with themselves and impressed with how great they are. They're arrogant and they're living in Satan's cosmic system. 6. In grace function, the eternal Father, Jesus, did not make an issue out of her former prostitution. Everybody in the city knows she's a prostitute. She's been a prostitute for some time. But Jesus did not make an issue out of her former prostitution at all. That is the eternal Father of grace and compassion. 7. This ex-prostitute has virtue love, while the Pharisee is self-righteous and has no capacity for love at all. This ex-prostitute has virtue love, while the Pharisee is self-righteous and has no capacity for love at all. 8. The moment the prostitute believed in Christ, her sins were forgiven her forever. The moment the prostitute believed in Jesus Christ, her sins were forgiven her forever. And she is overwhelmed. She knows she's a sinner. She knows she's a sinner. She knows she needs a Savior. And she knows that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is the Savior, the Redeemer, who will pay the penalty for all of her sins. And that just overwhelms her. And it should overwhelm all of us. Nine, she loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the Pharisee did not love Jesus at all. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. An ex-prostitute. But the Pharisee, a religious leader, did not love Jesus at all. What a contrast. There is the eternal Father of grace and compassion. That's the second illustration. That one, it just always, it blows me away. It brings tears to my eyes. I contemplate how fantastic our miracle Messiah, Jesus Christ, is as the eternal Father of grace and compassion. Illustration number three. Illustration number three of the grace function of our Lord Jesus Christ as eternal Father. And that is our Lord's association, His association with tax collectors. And tax collectors in Jesus' day were considered about the way they are today. The scum, those lousy scum tax collectors. And He associated with tax collectors and prostitutes. And when he would have he would have tax collectors and prostitutes would come to be with the, he was happy to have them there. And they were considered by the religious people the scum of the earth. And Jesus Christ, what was he showing? That he is the eternal Father of grace and compassion. These passages are very important. Turn over to Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Matthew 9, starting in verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. This is Matthew, the first gospel, and Matthew was one of those lousy tax collectors. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he said, "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, Matthew's a tax collector who has believed in Jesus Christ, and now he's a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and the human author of the first gospel book, Matthew. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many, many tax collectors and prostitutes came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher," and again, they still call him teacher because they don't believe he's the Messiah, Jesus Christ. "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and prostitutes?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy." The Greek word is eleos, grace in action. He is the eternal Father of grace and compassion. "I desire grace in action, not sacrifice, your religious works. You think you're so good and so fantastic. For I have not come to call the self-righteous, but sinners. You got to know you're a sinner to seek a Savior. And the religious, self-righteous religious people don't even think they need a Savior. And these self-righteous Pharisees and scribes, they don't think they need a Savior. They're very, very good and do lots of good works. But these tax collectors and prostitutes, they know they're sinners. And so they know that they need a Savior. Turn over to Matthew 21. So Jesus Christ says to Matthew, the tax collector, follow me. He followed him. He believed in him. He became one of his disciples and the author, human author of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 21, verse 28. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, Son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering into the kingdom of God ahead of you. They're entering into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they did. And even after you saw this, you still did not repent and believe him. Jesus showed he the eternal Father of grace and compassion to those who realized they were sinners and needed a Savior. And that was illustrated by the tax collectors and the prostitutes. And they, by many, over and over and over again, believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Turn over to Luke 15. Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 1. Now the tax, we have the tax collectors and the prostitutes again. Now the tax collectors and the prostitutes were all gathered around to hear him. This is Luke 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and prostitutes were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and he welcomes prostitutes and eats with them. He is the eternal Father of grace and compassion. And here are people that realize that they are sinners. You have to know you're sick before you go to a doctor. You got to know you're a sinner before you seek a Savior, Jesus Christ. And these are the great illustrations. Everybody knew these tax collectors were sinners. Everybody knew the prostitutes were sinners. And they knew they were sinners. And they realized Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer. And they believed in him. But not the self-righteous religious people. That's the third illustration. Jesus Christ's association in grace and compassion, he associated with. He ate dinner. He meals with tax collectors and prostitutes. Illustration number 4 of the grace function of our Lord Jesus Christ as eternal Father is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Turn over to Luke 18. Illustration number 4 of the grace function of our Lord Jesus Christ as eternal Father, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Luke 18, starting at verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness, this is self-righteous Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, and how did they operate? They looked down on everybody else. That's how self-righteous people operate. They look down on everybody else. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. This is how self-righteous people pray. Tell God how great they are. I'm really grateful. You're lucky that I'm here serving you. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you. I want you to concentrate. I thank you that I am not like other men. I'm not like robbers and evildoers and adulterers or even like this tax collector here. And I'm sure he pointed, and not like this tax collector. Then he tells God what he's doing. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Now, verse 13. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his chest and said, God, have mercy to me, a sinner. Pharisee is so self-righteous, he doesn't even see his own sins and failures and flaws. The tax collector, he totally knows that he's a sinner. God, have mercy to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee, this man, the tax collector, went home justified, declared righteous before God. For everyone who exalts himself like the Pharisee will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. 1. The tax collector saw the grace function of the eternal Father, the miracle Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And over again in these illustrations, you see the grace and compassion of Jesus Christ toward people who know they're sinners, who've committed adultery, prostitutes, tax collectors. They know they're sinners, and they know they need a Savior. The tax collector saw the grace function of the eternal Father, the miracle Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2, in verse 13, the tax collector prayed, God, have mercy to me, a sinner. A sinner. God, have mercy to me, a sinner. Grace in action. 3, the word to have mercy is the Greek word hiloskomai. looks like that in the Greek, Hilaskomai. Hilaskomai. And that word hilaskomai means God be propitiated. Be propitiated. Be satisfied. For Christ, the miracle Messiah, is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. Christ, the miracle Messiah, is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sin. And we studied this in 1 John 2. Turn over to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. 1 John 2, verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, a defense attorney, with the Father. Who is that? Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself, Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Well, the tax collector knew that principle of propitiation. So five, the tax collector recognized the grace of the eternal Father, Jesus Christ, extended to him through the doctrine of propitiation. The tax collector recognized the grace of the eternal Father, Jesus Christ, extended to him through the doctrine of propitiation. Six, however, the Pharisee thought God operated on a work system, salvation by good works. However, the Pharisee thought God operated on a work system, salvation by good works. Seven, the self-righteousness and self-justification of the Pharisee assumed that God was impressed with his good works. The self-righteousness and self-justification of the Pharisee assumed that God was impressed with his good works. Eight, he has created a role model out of himself. And he assumes that God agrees with him. He has created a role model out of himself, and he assumes that God agrees with him. The Pharisee was a self-righteous, arrogant, religious man trying to impress God with how good he is. Nine, the tax collector, on the other hand, was a humble man who recognized his need for eternal salvation. He knew that he was a sinner. The tax collector, on the other hand, was a humble man who recognized his need for eternal salvation. He knew he was a sinner. 10. The Pharisee's self-deception was that he thought that he was not a sinner like other people. He thought that he was not a sinner like other people. That was the Pharisee's self-deception. 11, self-deception results in denial, projection, revenge, bitterness, and hatred. Self-deception results in denial, projection, revenge, bitterness, and hatred. This parable illustrates the MO of the self-righteous individual. Self-justification, justifying your own sins and failures and flaws, which results in self-deception and self-absorption, very impressed with who and what you are. And this is living your life out of fellowship with God by the arrogant skills. To protect your self-justification, you must deceive yourself by denying your own sins, your own failures, your own flaws. Jesus Christ is the eternal Father of grace and compassion. And these are illustrations over and over and over again. We see Jesus Christ, the miracle Messiah, operating with grace and compassion toward those who were, well, everybody knew these people were sinners. They committed adultery. They were tax collectors and their scum. There were prostitutes, and everybody knew they were prostitutes. And they fornicated again and again and again. But you have to know you're sick before you go to a doctor. You got to know you're a sinner before you seek a Savior. And Jesus Christ, He knew all of these people, and He knew them in eternity past, and He knew that they would believe in Him for eternal salvation. Yes, they had sinned in the past, but everyone in here, we've done the exact same thing in the past. And Jesus Christ, in grace and compassion, the eternal Father of grace and compassion, willingly went to a cross and paid the penalty for all of our sins, failures, flaws in the past. That third characteristic in Isaiah 9:6 is so powerful. So powerful. I hope that you begin to understand what God was trying to say in this passage. That brings us to the fourth characteristic of the celebrityship of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to come back tomorrow, Thursday night. Fourth characteristic, He is also the Prince of Peace. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.